Well.
We're just going to go live right now. Are you capable of doing a klaxon or a siren or something for the emergency podcast that we're doing right now?
I can probably figure it out.
Yeah, this is why we need a producer to give us that little...
I'm sure it like exists that. In Audacity. I can probably figure it out.
David Blatt fired as coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers, and then instantly, basically, Tyronn Lue given a multi-year contract to be the head coach. Reports are indicating that he is the guy. There's no interim. They're rolling with him now. He was formerly the highest paid assistant, and not someone who I think had any pre-existing relationship with Blatt before. So this is something that maybe could have been predicted a year and a half ago. What are your thoughts initially?
I'm a little bit disappointed we didn't get the time to speculate about Mark Jackson getting the job, because that would have been fun. But there are a lot of things that are interesting about this beyond the whole like part about the team firing their coach when they're the best team in the Eastern Conference and all that, and the fact that they face the Bulls tomorrow. So it's not like that kind of stereotypical trope of, you know, playing a bad team and, you know, getting the new coach off to a good start. I mean, that they're still the favorites against the Bulls, but I mean, it's just shock. I don't think there's really any other way to put it.
Reports are indicating that multiple reports now, Ethan Skolnick, Brian Windhorst, Chris Haynes, all saying LeBron was not consulted on this. Sam Amick saying, tweeting that he heard that part of the organizational angst with David was that he was too unwilling to challenge LeBron, which is interesting to me. I think that that actually is probably correct. Whether that works or not, if he had tried that approach, I'm not really sure. I mean, David does not strike me as the meekest guy in the world, but do you buy the idea that this is just an organizational decision or not?
It would be mind-blowing for me to see a team make this kind of decision without even consulting the player who is not only the face of the franchise, but who is kind of the reason that the franchise is relevant. That is not to say that I think that it has to be his decision. I just think that doing it without, you know, where he found out about it today or whatever, that would be surprising to me.
To me, I could maybe buy that they didn't call up LeBron at 10 a.m. Eastern this morning and say, hey, we're firing David Blatt. Are you cool with that? And I think I would buy that LeBron didn't go to them and say, hey, I want you to fire David Blatt. On the other hand, this is all about LeBron, right? I think that it's absolutely correct that he needs to be challenged for them to take the next step, for them to move the ball the way they need to get Kevin Love involved more, to really become a fully actualized team. I don't know if Tyronn Lue is the guy who's going to make that happen. Because everything that was in Blatt's history before this was that he really believed in that, and he was known as really an offensive guru from Europe. So, you know, maybe Lue will have more success in that respect. But, you know, if they didn't go to him, I think pretty much everyone and their brother, us just watching from afar, it was pretty clear that LeBron and Blatt were not in love with one another. You know, and even just recently we talked about how in that Dallas game he had LeBron be the inbounder to Kyrie on the tying or the chance to win going into overtime at the end of regulation. Just things like that, going back to the playoffs where LeBron changed the play because Blatt had him inbounding with like a second remaining, and then LeBron hit the shot in game four. All those, if we know that, and it appears there's no love lost between them, the Cavs even more had to know that at the very least LeBron would not be objecting to them.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to phrase it. And it'll give us a small window into something that has been legitimately fascinating for me with Cleveland, which is we feel, I'll speak for only for myself, though I think you agree, that Cleveland has not reached their potential, particularly offensively. I think defensively they've done a pretty good job. And just like with Oklahoma City, where I felt that way with Scott Brooks, and you know we're seeing what we're seeing right now with Billy Donovan, it will be fascinating to see if a coaching change affects that at all. And to really, it won't be a truly like, you know, a biased a great sample, but whether Cleveland looks like a more cohesive, dangerous team will be exciting to see.
Woj just tweeted that since last year, LeBron and his agent have been strong advocates of Lou becoming head coach. Now, Woj and LeBron, you always got to take that with a little grain of salt because LeBron and his camp never give Woj anything. And so that is a reason. I mean, you notice that anything that gets reported with LeBron, Woj is not first on that. And so that is you're always a little bit got the radar on when Woj reports something about LeBron that's going to make him look bad. But on the other hand, I find this pretty darn believable as well. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, Lou, like what do you think that Cleveland could have improved from a coaching standpoint right now?
Well, I mean, I still think they're too comfortable with the ISOs and all of that they do. Their offense, you know, and utilizing Kevin Love is a pretty obvious.
I think they're getting absolutely as much defensively out of this
Agreed.
Team as they can. I think that is the case.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you completely on that end, and I think that David Blatt and the whole coaching staff deserves a lot of credit for that because I think that's something that coaching can really help. We've seen examples of that, like Steve Clifford in Charlotte, Scott Skiles in Orlando, and when a team is doing well, particularly outperforming their talent on that end, I attribute that more to coaching than I do offensive success or failure.
Yeah, I think that's right, and we've seen with some of these other coaching changes, Hoiberg, Billy Donovan, as you alluded to, getting the players to play differently on offense, especially when they're superstars, can be very difficult. Now, maybe the hope is that Lou can do that. You know, and it's not necessarily that you need an offensive guru so much as a communicator. And the hope is that Blatt, for all of his gifts, struggled a little bit to adjust to the NBA and maybe even went too far in the other direction of deferring once he realized that, you know, this wasn't going to be necessarily the young team that he signed up to coach initially. He was used to having a ton of power in Europe where the players have far less power and just aren't as good and aren't paid as much. So now maybe he went too far in that direction and Lou can challenge LeBron because it's LeBron's guy. On the other hand, you know, I don't think that he doesn't have a track record really as a head coach. So we'll see. I mean, what's your gut feeling? Are they going to play better now? Are they going to play differently with Lou? Or is this just going to be LeBron getting what he wants, whether explicitly or implicitly stated, and it's not going to lead to them playing better?
My gut is that they'll be pretty similar. I think that what's really kind of interesting to me about it would be the idea that pushing LeBron leads them to, let's say, a more watchable direction. I think that's entirely possible. And it kind of begs the question about, you know, how everything happened last year in terms of the finals. Of course, that was necessity being the mother of invention, but, you know, maybe there was some rumblings that to do it a different way. But my instinct is that it's really not as really hard for a tiger to change its stripes at this point, but it's incredibly hard to implement the kind of things that they would need to do to really make this offense, to me, to reach its pinnacle mid-season, especially at this point when their roster is basically set, unless they want to go real big and do some things on that end, which I doubt.
Yeah, that'll be the other interesting part, right? And there's been some reports now, whether it's Ethan Skolnick, who spent a lot of time around the team last year, Amick as well, saying that this has been brewing for a while, wasn't tied to a specific game where they actually, you know, they bounced back against the Clippers the other night after getting destroyed by the Warriors. I mean, it may be that they're just so desperate that it was just time to do this. I mean, I think they have actually exceeded expectations for the most part this year with all the injuries that they've had, especially on the defensive end. But, you know, it's one of those things. I mean, I think we would both agree that the Cavs' performance so far didn't deserve to get David Blatt fired, but as so often, one of my favorite Wire quotes, deserve ain't got nothing to do with it.
Yeah, and it's hard when you're in a situation that has these kind of expectations because you're kind of sitting there going, well, what more could have been done? And the answer is it's not necessarily in terms of wins and losses. It can be in terms of play, but it's kind of hard to see from the side. But I hope that there is something that we will be able to see in terms of their product, not now, but, you know, a month and a half from now, that we can appreciate, because Cleveland is in this strange place where, just whatever we have misgivings about their title odds, their path to the NBA Finals is pretty clear. And what I'm excited about is this gives us a reason to really pay attention to them in a way that they had kind of fallen out of interest for me, where, you know, like, we kind of knew what they were. It looked like they were going to stay pretty static in that sense, and, you know, they'll be the odds-on favorite in the East. And now, all of a sudden, I'm going to give them a little bit to adjust, but I'm interested again.
I agree. I mean, this is one of the more interesting things to happen in a while. My gut feeling is that the most likely outcome is that they just get even more LeBron-ized than they have been before, and that's, as I've said many a time, I don't think that's what they need. But considering that he was on staff, there weren't really other coaching candidates available. They weren't good enough offensively right now. You know, I'm sure even like Kevin Love was not particularly happy with how he was being used either since Kyrie came back. I understand why the front office decided to make a change and just go with kind of a new strategy, a high variance strategy. I don't think anyone thought that the Cavaliers were going to beat the Warriors or Spurs the way things were. And so you make a change, and maybe it doesn't work, but it's the only thing that was available to them. And that's the unfortunate nature of coaching.
And the way that I think about it, the point you just brought up made me think about the idea that maybe this makes it a little bit less likely, though I didn't think it was likely in the first place, that they change personnel, because this is kind of one of those things of, you know, kind of a last-ditch thing about, if you're not going to do that, you're not going to do that, then you can change the coach. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I think that if there is an understanding, I mean, this clearly is indicative of an understanding that the status quo was not good enough. And a big part of why we said when they couldn't find a partner for the Hayward contract, and then they went with this TPE that we thought back when that happened that it was most likely they would use it this summer. And I think part of that was, well, where are they going to upgrade with all these guys they have? It seemed like an exceedingly deep roster. Now, though, that they have these super teams, there's a lot more pressure, and maybe it is more likely that they try to do something with that. Their trade deadline preview probably got a lot more interesting. We'll have to do that one pretty soon, huh?
Yeah, or unless you want to give it a little bit of time just to see how this sorts out. But either way, I'm good.
Real quickly before we go, since this is going to be a short one, where would you like to see David Blatt land?
Well, I think that I'm trying to think. So what I would say he did with Cleveland was that it was a team that outperformed relative to their defensive personnel, but maybe they were a little bit less imaginative offensively. So my thought is not Minnesota, just because I think you need that creativity offensively to really unlock it, though defensively I think that would be great for them.
Yeah, but that is how he wants to play, though. If you give him more power and a younger team, I think he can get them to play that way.
So then Minnesota is a good option.
I think that would be good. I don't see them being enough outside the box to go with him necessarily. John Givony just tweeted out that Brooklyn might be an interesting one.
But they don't really have talent.
Especially because they're probably not going to have much talent, and David has thrived in kind of lower talent situations. But, you know, again, those are sort of one-off. You know, it's not over the course of an 82-game season, so maybe that's not as good, but that is a thought.
Did he ever coach Cheska? I don't think he did.
No, he did.
So then there's that relationship as well.
Yeah, and he coached the Russian national team.
Yeah, which I knew. I knew he did that part.
But. Yeah. I mean, that's it's interesting. I mean, I think he definitely, you don't want him going somewhere where there are really established stars. I think a young team, the team that they thought that Cleveland was going to be, you know, a team like that could be it. And also another option would be if Luke Walton ends up leaving for a head coaching spot, I'm sure David would have a spot if he wanted it on the Warriors, which would be awesome. I'd love to have him around and just be able to pick his brain about stuff. I'm sure he's got some amazing stories and some interesting philosophies. Anything else really come to mind? Phoenix could be another one, perhaps. That kind of fits in with that archetype of a younger team that you want to try to get playing to a system, get those guys to be more than the sum of their parts, guys who are going to listen to him. Then again, you know, they've really been suffering from a lack of communication. I mean, it's tough because I think now he's going to have a reputation of a guy who is not necessarily, you know, his weakness is sort of more on the emotional side.
Yeah, I think that's definitely fair. Minnesota's the first one that kind of jumps out. Brooklyn makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I mean, I thought for a brief second about Sacramento, but of course they have a dominant personality and they have an established coach.
Yeah. All right, that's all we got on this one. I wanted to keep it short enough, but the klaxon went off, and Danny and I were called to do this. So we'll do these every once in a while when there's big news, try to get these kind of reactions out a little more quickly in the future. But that's it for now. Talk to y'all later.